Hey friends, so glad you hopped on the Collide podcast today. I hope that you are having a great day. I have an amazing interview for you. We're in the middle of our Women of Impact series, and we're doing this series because we know that women want to contribute. We want to be used to do amazing things. We want to impact the world. We want to make a difference. And so we have known this for years at Collide because we spend so much time with women. And yet so often there's these obstacles that get in the way of us truly making an impact. And so we created a course that has, 70 some classes in it, and you can learn from these women. But we thought, why not have some of these women pop on the podcast so you could learn from them? So today you get to hear from a woman of impact, and I know it will impact you. So check it out. In this next session, I get to sit down with Christina Archer, who is an amazing woman of impact, and hear her story on how she got the idea to start her business, which is an amazing and successful cheer gym. And I am certain that you will grow and learn and be challenged as she shares her story. So, Christina, this is so fun that we get to sit here and hang out and talk about your story. I thought it'd be fun if you could just start by sharing a little bit about your gym, when you started it, who you serve, that kind of thing.
Awesome. So I run the Northwest Silver Stars. It's a competitive cheerleading gym, and we started in August of 2000. And we have athletes from Whatcom County, Skagit County. We actually have people from Snohomish and that drive up, and we have ages 4 to 19, and yeah.
So you're running this business. You're located up in the Pacific Northwest, and I know you don't want to brag, so I'm actually going to ask you to brag. This is not just some sort of like you kind of do this on a side thing, small gym with like 4 athletes. I mean, you have won several awards. You have lots of accolades that you can mention. And so I'm actually going to ask you to brag on your gym a little bit in your work.
Okay, if I have to. I actually don't mind at this point being very proud of what we've accomplished. The athletes are amazing. My staff is incredible. We have been Program of the Year, Coach of the Year, Gym Team of the Year in the Pacific Northwest. So we've really done pretty well. Our athletes are incredible. We actually have had at least one team, if not all of them, qualify for the national championship in Orlando. We actually just got back from all 4 of our teams qualifying. They all placed top 20 in the nation in their divisions, and we had an incredible time. I remember, I think it was 3 or 4 years in, someone from the Pacific Northwest had said, "Hey, Christina, you're just not going to make it in this industry unless you have crop tops and spice up your dances a little." And I looked at him and I said, "Watch me." And here we are starting our 22nd season. We're the longest standing gym in Washington and Oregon and Idaho and the whole Pacific Northwest. So we've stayed true to who we are, and we do pretty well for ourselves.
Watch me. I like the sass. Over these years, you have come alongside so many coaches and athletes and athletes' families. What would you say your gym has had the opportunity to do as far as impact in all of those people's lives?
Well, we've been around for, a few decades now. So I think by sheer volume, we've been a part of people's lives. We have athletes who are the children of alumni, and we've had the opportunity, I guess, to walk through and walk alongside families who are going through divorce or death. A lot of athletes who've gone through depression and eating disorders. We've gotten to be with athletes who have, gotten married and had babies, and now their kids are in our gym. So we've really gotten to be start to finish with a lot of our families.
That's so cool. And I'm sure that they feel almost like a sense of family. Like,
we call ourselves the Star Family, and it really is.
When you think back over the last couple decades, are there a few moments that stick out to you where you really feel like you got to have a monumental moment in a pivotal way for a woman?
We've definitely had quite a few. We did a campaign last year called Cheer is More Than Cheer. And we had alumni kind of share what impact alumni had, I hadn't even heard from in a long time, what impact some of the things from Silver Stars have had on their life. And, but I want to think back to one who just stands out to me. She was, I think, a freshman, maybe a sophomore, and her and some other teammates had made some bad choices. And part of her accountability with her family was that she had to tell me about it. And for anyone who knows me, I'm pretty strict and have very high standards. And so confessing to Coach Christina is probably one of the harder punishments for an athlete. And we took a walk around my block, and she shared what she had done and her choices. And she didn't make any excuses. She didn't deflect to anybody else that was a part of it, even teammates. You know, she didn't rat anybody out. And I was just able to, in that moment, you know, instead of some sort of punitive response, I was able to just extend the grace that God had given me and speak into the greatness that I saw in her. And in that moment, so many things changed for her. And she has become, she became a leader in our gym. She became a captain of captains. She came back after she graduated and did all the training for our captains. She went on to be a missionary. And now she's a teacher in Seattle, and she is making an impact for Jesus. And that's just one of the stories. But for me, she's always one that I will go back to as, this is what I want for our gym. This is the transition or the pivotal moment I want for our athletes.
You're just set up in relationship with these girls. So when they have moments of failure or hardship or depression or family breakups or whatever, you're there. You're a person that God has placed in their life. And certainly you have a gym, and you're teaching them a skill, and you're coaching and training them and all those things, taking them to competitions, but you're also really building a relationship with them and use for great impact. Let's talk a little bit more about Cheer is More Than Cheer. That's a really interesting concept. Tell us what you mean by that, why that's such a value to even have an event and call it like Cheer is More Than Cheer.
Well, I think that a lot of times people have a preconceived notion about what cheerleading is, either the pom-poms or the stunts or the skirts or whatever. And our gym is pretty committed to a different kind of mission. We are committed to athleticism. We're very competitive. We like to be good at what we do athletically, but we're also committed to character and teamwork. And the way that we do that is we have a different character trait each month, and we teach them how to apply that character trait in the gym and at home and at school. And so we really try to insert ourselves into focusing on the whole person. Our coaches have a task. They have a three-part task for every practice. Each athlete has to grow athletically. They have to be remembered as a child making a memory and a human being with strengths and weaknesses. So we try to look at all three of those things, and we really try to become a part of who they are as people, whether it's their grades, what's going on at home, obviously their skills, their insecurities, their personality growth moments, things like that. So we really want not just for people to choose cheerleading, but we want for people when they choose Silver Stars to know that they're taking on more than just cheerleading, more than an eight count and a back tuck. They're really taking on growing as a person and really making a life choice at that point. So
that is so cool. I love how holistic you guys are in your approach, that you're not just creating a place where people can learn how to do cheer, but you're actually taking into account the human and how do you grow their character? How do you take care of them as children of God? How do you challenge them to become their best self? I mean, you've really taken what you could do at a cheer gym to a completely other level. Did you have that sense that you wanted to do that from the beginning?
Yes. I knew that I was being called into ministry. My whole childhood, I didn't grow up a Christian, and everything about my childhood, none of my childhood led to what I'm doing now or who I am now. And when God changed my life, when I met him in college, and he completely picked me up out of the mire and set me on solid ground. I knew that one of my favorite verses is, I wrote it down, 1 Corinthians 15:10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am who I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. So I felt like the changes that he made in my life had to then have purpose, and not just for me to be on solid ground, but for me to then do something with that stability. And at first I thought maybe I was being called into college ministry because that's where I found Jesus. But then when I moved out here, which is its own miracle story, I got a couple jobs as cheer coaches, and I thought maybe this is where I'm meant to be. This is the time of life I didn't have Jesus. I didn't have any stability or security. So maybe this is where I'm being called. And I was coaching in a couple high schools, and I thought, you know, what if we just put all these kids together and I can talk about my faith and I can be in their lives and I can just support them? And so I knew from the start that this was not just a cheer gym, but this was going to be my ministry. This was my life calling. So every part of it, every decision we make is very intentional, and not that we always make the right decisions, but there's always the intention and the goal of serving these kids and helping bring out their greatness.
Let's rewind back to you having a passion for cheer. You'd moved out here. You and I have talked about this on the Collide podcast, and for people who want to hear more about it, they can tune in. But let's rewind back to this moment that you had where you sat down with your husband and you had a passion, but you hadn't done anything as far as you were cheer coaching at different high schools. You didn't have your own gym. You didn't have plans in place to start your own gym. What made you guys even sit down in the first place? And tell us what led to your guys's, I think, just amazing napkin moment.
My napkin moment.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, I was coaching at a couple high schools, and I was super passionate about my faith. I'm a new Christian, and I was running into some limits that, you know, some public school limits. Mm-hmm. And I am from North Carolina, where there are competitive all-star gyms, and there was nothing in Washington like that at the time. And I said, what if I start one? And put all these kids together, these kids from these different schools, and put them all together. And what could that look like? And Derek had a napkin and a pencil, and he said, well, tell me what you see. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him about, you know, well, I want this team, and I could call it this, and then they could coach the younger kids, and we could call it this. And he just wrote it all out on a napkin. And I can't even remember the time and space between the napkin and the starting, but I feel like as soon as that conversation happened, it was a green light. We were just moving forward after that. And I knew that it was going to happen.
I think what stands out to me about this is you've told me that you're not a big visionary, that you had a passion, but you're not a visionary, and you really needed your husband, who's a visionary, to come alongside you. Tell us more about how meaningful that was, that his giftings were used to almost fuel your passion to turn them into reality.
Well, not only am I not a visionary, I'm not a risk taker. I don't have the spiritual gift of faith. I've taken three very big faith moments, faith steps in my life. One was moving here, one was starting the gym, and one was adopting our daughter, Courtney. And those three moments, I think, are so huge that a lot of people look at me and think that I have this bold faith, and really I'm very timid and scared of any big steps. And Derek is not. He is completely different than me in every way. And so when at that time in my life, I was working at a local church, Christ the King, and so was Derek. And our church was committed to recovery and really figuring out who you were. So personality stuff and spiritual gifting and love languages, all of the things. And I really spent those years figuring out who I was, being completely honest with who I was. And in fact, before I did all of that, I don't know if you know anything about the Myers-Briggs, but I was an ENFP, which are just four random letters. After finding out who I really was, I'm an ISTJ, which is the complete opposite.
Oh, yikes.
Yes, complete opposite. So I realized that my whole life I'd been kind of living these facades of who I thought I was supposed to be instead of who I truly am. And I think for me, one of the biggest ways or reasons that God was able to speak to me in that time and use Derek was because I was very honest with my what I wasn't. I was very honest with myself about all of my weaknesses, all of my insecurities, and all of my growth areas. And I knew what I didn't have to offer. Mm-hmm. I know what I do have to offer, but I knew also very clearly what I didn't have to offer. And God brought those people into my life that filled those blind spots. And Derek is obviously the biggest one. He has faith, and he heard the vision, and he could tell that it was clearly the calling that God was putting on my life. And he just helped make it happen. He encouraged me to step out of my comfort zone. He empowered me every step of the way. There was never a if, there was always a how. Like, how are we going to do this? Not if we're going to do it.
Let's be friends, like the kind of friends who tell each other everything. Drop your email using the link in our show notes so we can keep you up to date on all the latest Collide news, give you exclusive discounts, and share exciting announcements. You'll get a newsletter sent straight to your inbox twice a month. And don't worry, we promise we won't send you any spam. Just curated content that feels way more like an exciting message from your BFF. Subscribe to the Collide newsletter today and be the first to know about all things Collide.
If there was always a how, like, how are we going to do this? Not if we're going to do it.
That's so awesome, because I think when I think about women who are sitting in a session, you know, it's interesting that you say it was so helpful for you to recognize what you weren't, what you aren't. And so often we do. We spend so much time trying to figure out who we are. What's our personality? What's our giftings? What's our abilities? What do we have? What have we been entrusted with? But the idea of really recognizing what we aren't too, and then surrounding ourselves with people who have those skills, have those abilities. How important is it for you, even decades later, to be surrounded by people who are gifted and able in ways that you're not?
So important. They're my daily phone calls, because I have a perspective, I have an opinion, I have my own limitations, and I need, if I want to make great choices for children and their lives and the business, our business is a year at a time. It's not, you know, a week at a time. We have to make decisions now that are going to affect next year and the following year. And so to have the weight of those decisions, I need to make sure that I'm seeing what I don't see. And I'm, you know, we all have our blind spots, and I've been super blessed to have the right people come into my life that are gifted completely differently and they love the call that we have at Silver Stars, not only in a supportive way, but in a they've owned it way. You know, they've taken ownership of the mission and vision of Silver Stars. And so because of that, they're able to speak into my blind spots, knowing that, and I can trust that because I know that they have the same goals for our gym.
Mm-hmm. I resonate with that so much just around here at Collide.
Like, I can imagine.
I could not do this without our amazing team. I mean, it's just huge. You have to surround yourself with people who have what you don't. And so that piece of wisdom of like really recognizing who you are and who you aren't is so interesting. When you think back to over 20 years ago and the idea that God took nothing and made it something, I mean, he took an idea or a passion, but has really turned it into reality. When you reflect on that, how do you feel?
I think for me, since it's been my entire adult life mm-hmm. that I've been doing this, I can't imagine, I have no vision for what my life would have been if we hadn't answered that call. And for him to have made just this vision and this nothing into something, I can't imagine. I mean, I wouldn't even have one of my daughters. I wouldn't have my children and, my community, my star family. So for me, it's been really humbling, especially, you know, being the longest standing gym and being here for 22 years, you have a lot of moments of reflection, especially, you know, we just came through a very challenging year and you have to really weigh what you're doing and reassess everything. And when I think about how much God has done, it's overwhelming. When you even asked, you know, about specific people or some of the things that we've walked people through or that they've walked us through. I just can't even, it's a whole lifetime for me. It's literally been more than half my lifetime I've been doing this. So I'm pretty humbled by his faithfulness. I think a lot of people, when I first became a Christian, I was kind of envious of people who had been a Christian their whole life. You know, God's faithfulness to them their whole life and their response to that faithfulness. And they just knew him all along and probably got to avoid a lot of the hardships that I did. And I'm not saying that that's factual. I'm just saying that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have that story now too, where his faithfulness has been such a long part of my life now that it's been interesting to see that come full circle where I can see that in my life where that wasn't my original story.
Mm, that's so cool. When you rewind and go back to that moment with you and Derek and the napkin, and you had this sort of passion and this idea that really was like dormant, like it was kind of coming out of you, and he's asking you all these questions and he's writing down all your passions, writing down all of your ideas. I mean, even when I'm talking to you, I have goosebumps a little bit thinking about all the women who are taking this course who have that. They have that. It's right there. It's right inside of them. And they need it to come out and trust that God could take it and make it into something, that he could turn it into a reality. If you were to share, like, going all the way back, if that passion and those ideas would have stayed resonant inside of you, how would you be different? If Northwest Silver Stars never would have become a thing, like how would you be different? What are these women missing out on by keeping all of that inside of them and not allowing it to come out and share it with the world?
We teach our athletes, or we tell them all the time, that we want them to live a life worthy of writing a book about. And I feel like if my passion was staying dormant, that I would just have a pretty mediocre, bland story. And it wouldn't be anything that I was excited to write a book about or share with other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we were created for that. I think if we were created to not pursue and not strive, then, you know, we'd all still be crawling, you know, like God created us to want the next step and to do something with what he's given us. And so I think that if that passion's in you, it's in you for a reason. And valuing what God's put in you enough to know that it's not the same for everybody else. He hasn't created everybody the same. He's created everybody. He loves us all, but he's put something in you that's different than what he's put in me. Mm-hmm. And without you living that out, my world is going to be lacking what you had to offer. And I was super blessed to be working at Christ the King at that time with a lot of great leaders who were speaking that into our lives, that what we had to offer was something that God wanted in his world, wanted for his kingdom. So I can't really feel that I would have had much greatness or impact. And I think at the end of the day, I want to make sure, or I want to feel like what God did in my life, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect, that his grace to me had an impact on this world and not just on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly has. That's for sure. You had this moment. God used your husband to draw out your ideas, your passion. But certainly if you would have stopped at the napkin, we wouldn't be here today having this conversation, talking about the amazing impact you've had on countless girls. So what did it take after that? After the moment of like, okay, I recognize like God is calling me to do something. What were the intentional next steps that you kind of had to live into? Like you had to verb, like you had to move, you had to act, you had to do something beyond ideate.
So I was working at a church in the Pacific Northwest in Bellingham, Washington, and the leadership at the church was very committed to their mission, vision, and values. So they were teaching all of us to know exactly who you were and what steps you needed to take in order to be that person or be that organization. And so the very first step was, what do I want Silver Stars to be about? And what are we going to value? What are the things that I can keep going back to every time I have to make a decision? Write them down. And so we wrote down our mission, vision, and values, why we were doing it, what we wanted it to look like, and the values that we would make our decisions based off of. And then we just asked some questions to some people who knew more than us. And I think that that's important because a lot of times, fear of what somebody else might think keeps us from asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of gym owner friends on the East Coast, a lot of business people around me that know a lot more than me. And so feeling like, you know, I might feel stupid or they might think I'm dumb or something, could have kept me from asking questions, but we just asked some questions and, took the next steps that people put in front of us. And I think, the Moses not knowing what to say and God saying, I will, you know, go and I will teach you what to say. That was not that I didn't know what to say. It was more, I didn't know what to do. And I felt like every step in front of me was revealed as I was taking that step. Hmm. I didn't have a full 20-year plan.
Hmm. I'm so glad you said that because I think a lot of people think they have to have the 20-year plan. And so they're waiting for it rather than just taking the very next best step that's right in front of them. That's so key. When you think about women who they have a passion, they have ideas, what is your best advice for them to turn those into reality?
I think my advice for other women to take their passion and turn it into something that they feel that they can make an impact on others, because, you know, the women of impact. Yeah. I think every woman needs to know that their value is meant to have impact, that who they are was created to have impact, and to take that passion and to know, we're all passionate about different things for reasons, you know, like I said earlier. And I think to have people that empower them, finding the right people to surround yourself with is probably one of the biggest things. And you know that too, running your organization, having the right people around you that can empower you and encourage you and help you take the right steps at the right moment. But you know, I think it's important too to write things out and what would the next step be? So identifying just what a step would be instead of, like you said, the 5-year plan or 20-year plan, just knowing what's a step I could take, and then talking to your counsel about it, talking to your people about it. But, you know, just doing something. Just take a step. And if it's the wrong step, God's pretty good at, like, redirecting.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Christina, you blow my mind. I love your story. I love your obedience to God's call in your life. I'm so grateful for the impact that He has made on young lives through you. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. You're an inspiration to all of us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of work, and I have an amazing team around me, and the athletes God brings to me are exactly who I'm supposed to be with, for them and for me. They're amazing. So I have a wonderful star family.
That's awesome. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed that episode, friend, it was taken from our incredible course, the Women of Impact course. And if you're interested in grabbing hold of that for yourself, today we want to give you a half off code so that you can get it for just $49.99. There's like 70 some classes within that course taught by women who are actually making an impact in the world. So head to our website or click the link in the show notes to grab the course today. Friend, I just hope that you know, as you continue to collide, that God wants to use you in this world to do amazing things that impact other people. So be encouraged.